In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated, won't you? Well, good morning. Over this past summer, I had a chance to be in the wedding of a good friend. And he had done the complicated social math and had realized that really he had two best men, and of which I got to be one of them. And the other was not able to make it. He was an enlisted guy, and he was doing ranger training in the mountains and couldn't be there. And it was one of these weddings where a lot of the details were very well planned. Right, there was a lot of sophistication and preparation that had gone into making this event kind of run very smoothly and have everything prepared. So I remember that all of us were sort of surprised when we realized kind of right before the reception, as we were about to walk in, that we had no idea what we were supposed to do as we walked in and were announced. And so as everyone else was doing hors d'oeuvres, the whole wedding party was sort of scrambling to figure out, you know, quick little dance moves or something that we could do as we walked in. And I sort of had this extra layer where I was escorting two maids of honor, and we worked it out. We figured out that some kind of complicated, you know, spin-out, spin-in, hip-bump move, which I will not demonstrate. And it got me thinking that there are very few things in the world that we do today where you're announced in that way, right? My parents have this story of once being at a ball in Vienna. I have no idea how they were invited to a ball while they were in Vienna, but they were. And they got kind of announced by, you know, a guy with a staff and sort of were walked into the ballroom, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Ralph Arnhem. Everyone else, I'm sure, had titles, but they just kind of, you know, were announced and in they went. But it's exactly that sort of thing that's happening in the gospel today, right? I think this can be a confusing gospel. The sort of big questions that clergy hear often around baptism are either, why do we baptize people at all, or why do we baptize infants? But when we get to this gospel, people start asking the third big one, in my limited experience, which is, why was it that Jesus had to be baptized? Why was it that John baptized Jesus instead of the other way around? And it's a good question. I mean, it was John's question, right? He wasn't sure that this is how things ought to have been done. But Jesus convinced him. And God had made that choice. And I think if we get into it a little bit, it's one that makes a lot of sense. So it's easy for us, I think, now, having sort of heard the story a number of times and sort of knowing John as John the Baptist, right, for sort of this ministry and this moment in Scripture, to kind of think of it as a foregone conclusion. But if you were in that time and place and you were waiting for the Messiah, it really wasn't, right? Jesus could have done a number of things. Jesus could have marched into the temple and proclaimed that the day of the Lord was there. He could have convinced the people there by proofs and displays of power that he was indeed the Lord come to earth. Or he could have gone to Caesar's court and overthrown all of human authority, all of corruption, all of the earthly power that we thought was so important, and shown visibly there in that highest social place the power of God and this way of peace that was something that God had called us to be and to follow instead. But that's not what Jesus did, right? Jesus was born humbly to parents in a quiet place sort of tucked away in the back, right? Not even in the inn, but in the stable. And Jesus kind of grew up quietly and went to the temple and talked with the priests there. But we didn't hear a lot about him until this moment of baptism. And when Jesus sort of begins his ministry there in that place, he goes to John. Now, John was a wild man kind of living out in the desert, right? I mean, today we think of him maybe as a hippie or a New Age guy. I mean, he's out in the desert. He's eating what he can find. He's convincing anyone who comes to him that they need to be cleaned. They need to have this ritual cleansing and bathing. And he was convinced of his need for God. John's life was controlled by the reality that he needed God. Everything he did was founded in this, grounded in this, based on it, connected to it. He knew that he had a need of a Savior. He knew that he needed God more than God needed him. And that had become a ministry that was beginning to compel people. This strange man out in the desert, repenting of sin, longing for God, yearning for the Messiah to come. That's the man that Jesus chose to go to. That's the man that he went to be proclaimed and to begin earthly ministry. Not the teachers of the most sophisticated law, not the people who had the greatest human power, but somebody who was convinced of his need of God, and somebody who had gathered people around that message. When John saw Jesus, he recognized in him, here the man God come, right? He knew that Jesus was the Lord he had been waiting for. He knew that he needed what Jesus could give him far more than Jesus needed what John had to offer. And he tried to convince Jesus of that and had to be persuaded that Jesus really meant to begin his ministry in this way. But when he had talked with Jesus, when Jesus had convinced him to do it, that's what happened. Jesus was baptized, and as he came up from the water, we get that powerful, mysterious moment where the clouds sort of part and the heavens open, the Spirit comes down like a dove, and that voice proclaims Jesus to be the Son of God and the Beloved, in whom God is well pleased. And that's what begins the teaching and the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth, who we call the Christ, who would go and would teach us, by his example and his words, the new way of life. This is what we're called to live into. And this is why we baptize people. We baptize people because we believe that God's love is stretched out to everybody. We believe that baptism is something that can be offered to any person at any time who wants to confess Jesus as Lord. We offer it to infants because we believe that children can begin ministry too, and that God's love for them is equal to God's love for anyone with the most sophisticated faith. We baptize people because we believe that we're all called to walk in this way that Jesus taught us, beginning that day at the Jordan, as he sort of set out into Judea and Galilee and Jerusalem, teaching a different way to the world. Baptism is one of those things, like the faith of John, that doesn't cease, right? Baptism becomes, for Christians, a controlling reality. Our baptisms call us into new and different things at different times in our lives. What it means to follow Jesus as a child will be different from what it means to follow Jesus as an adult or in your old age or wherever you are in life. But it's going to mean something. And God's going to ask it of you, and God's going to proclaim it out of you, out from the clouds, by the Holy Spirit. God's looking to you to be beloved, in whom God can be well pleased. Each of us has that within us, and it's baptism that calls us to seek it, calls us to find it in ourselves. It's baptism that invites us to receive God's gift of love and also God's challenge to go out into the world as Christians, as people of faith. People confessing, like John did, that we have a need of God. That we need God more than God can possibly need us, but that God's called us to do something anyway. That God's invited us through baptism to be incarnate love in the world. To serve neighbors, to serve family and friends, to reach out our hands and our hearts in love to a world that desperately needs it. God's given us different gifts, and you'll find that you have different gifts for different times in your life. But whatever it is, it's something that God is always going to be calling out of you. God is looking to proclaim what is in you to a world that needs it. God is looking for you to find where your gifts match the needs of the world around you so that you can be incarnate love the way Christ was. God's looking for you to begin and to continue a journey like the journey of Jesus, traveling throughout the world and making God's word known. The lesson from Isaiah talks about how the man of God will not break a bruised reed or quench a small flame, but rather will be nurturing and merciful and encouraging to those places. Our tasks are diverse and many. and rich and wonderful. And they're as unique as the gifts that God's given to each of us. So I invite you to think about that this week, to pray on it, and to consider what it is that God is calling out of you into the world. What it is that God's given you to use in loving service. What it is that God is asking you to proclaim this day and in this place and in this time in your life. Because there is something. And we recognize that and we celebrate that and we honor that with the rite of baptism in the church that sort of calls us and ordains us to the ministry of Christians in the world. So I invite you to look for that and to seek God in that this week and to listen for the voice of Jesus asking you to find him and meet him there. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.